The B-Files, an in-depth look at Dan Burrich, UFO legend or fraud, tales of extraterrestrial visitors, biological intrigue flirting with the building blocks of life. This segment is brought to you by Fate Magazine, true reports of the strange and unknown. A monthly magazine since 1948.
I know he's being drugged again. I'm willing to bet $500 with somebody that if they ever would catch him and talk to him, he is being drugged again. And the reason why I'm saying that is because all of a sudden he got sick again. And every time he gets sick, it comes right down later on in the future, in a month or two or three or four, somebody's going to slip and say he was drugged again. And it was. And he gets drugged because she even admits it in some emails that I have.
In which some of the scientists and one of the Majestic members was present by the name of Dr. Edward Teller, and about a dozen other scientists, and J-Rod was there at the table with him wearing a long sleeve shirt. He was maybe about, I believe 5 feet, maybe 5 feet 2 inches tall. In other words, he was the height of many humans. However, he looked quite different, and when he spoke to you in response to some question, the question would, or the answer would be returned to you hearing your own voice in your head.
Everybody thinks he didn't get a PhD, but I know he did. But number one is I brought it in the house and he got it in the mail. It was in a tube. And he was so proud of that that his dad framed it immediately and put it on his wall in his bedroom. And it wasn't a few days later, she came over, Debbie came over and took it right off the wall and said she was going to make a copy and then bring it back.
Having had no previous experience involving biological warfare, it came as quite a surprise to me that they would possibly be considering the usage. God only knows where this is going to lead to, simply because we're producing these, I don't want to say monsters, because I don't know what, to be very honest with you. I do know that we've taken the process of natural selection and thrown it out the window. And not only have we done that, we've done so willfully and with negligence toward our own future. Boy, I'm going to have to watch my language here. I'm watching us muck our world up worse with indifference. As soon as you add two things together which are not meant to be together, I can theorize what they're doing is they're taking the Aquarius project and they're taking it to the next step. Kind of like taking the atom bomb and turning it into the hydrogen, no matter what evil comes out of it.
That was the voice of Dan Burrich. Some know him as Dr. Dan Burrich, a microbiologist with a PhD. Others know him as Naval Captain Dan Crane, a member of an elite secret group who worked at a mystery base in Nevada known as Area 51. Still others knew him as a security person working at a major hotel casino in Las Vegas. All agree Dan Burrich is a man of mystery and intrigue. The other voices on the opening of this show belong to Mrs. Doreen Crane, Dan's mother, and Bill Hamilton, a renowned UFO researcher and author who has written a book about Dan Burrich called Project Aquarius. You'll be hearing from all three of these, plus many other people, involved in the wide-ranging, multifaceted story that we are calling the B-Files, the story of Dan Burrich. This is a tale of entities from other worlds, maybe from other times. MJ-12, a secret group that is supposedly more powerful than any government. And this tale also has stories that will shake the very foundation of religious and spiritual beliefs. Hi, this is Jerry Pippin. Welcome to the B-Files. our story of Dan Burrish. It'll be far-ranging, and it will be a series of programs. So far, it doesn't have an end. But it does have a beginning, right, Larry Dickin? I mean, this story actually started maybe 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah, it has. I mean, you know, the first reports of Mr. Burrish's involvement with the public and actually with somebody in the media out in Las Vegas, George Knapp, was way back in 1990.
Yeah, he said George told me one time he just kind of suddenly appeared at a little meeting they were having about UFOs, in which Knapp was the moderator.
Right.
And basically, I guess the way we will do this is we will cover from the beginning of the Dan Burrish affair when he was a child right on up.
Right to the present moment, yes. Which, interestingly enough, the present moment seems to be a moment of silence.
Actually, you're right, and they have been very, very quiet. We're going to have Doreen Crane on in a minute, who is, of course, Dan's mother. When it's quiet, she gets worried. She's actually afraid for Dan's life.
Well, she has a reason to be afraid because, you know, there were several times over the last 5 years where Dan disappeared, and in one instance there were claims by both Bill Hamilton and Marcy McDowell that he had died.
Marcy McDowell has been associated with the story from almost the beginning. In fact, she knew Dan when they were children in California. And it's interesting that she keeps coming in and out. She's known professionally as B.J. Wolf. In fact, they wrote a book together,
right,
about Mars. In fact, there were four people involved in writing that book. Let me see if I can remember. Yeah, that was Albert Butch Howell. He passed away at 51 years of age, and he was the boss of Dan Burrish at a major casino there in Las Vegas. The name of the book is Eagles Disobey, The Case for Inca City Mars by B.J. Wolf. She, of course, is Marcy McDowell. And there was another author on this thing, Robert Charles. I don't know Robert Charles. Maybe somebody listening does. If you do, let us know who Robert Charles is. Just send an email to jerry@jerrypippin.com. The question is, did Burrish actually work at Area 51? Is he a PhD? Is there an MJ-12? Is his wife, Debbie Burrish, his handler, working for MJ-12? On and on and on. Some of the things that the Burrish people are pushing are really pretty far out. They involve time travel and a lot of spiritualism. And it's interesting, I think, you can explain part of this, because he was a devout Catholic. In fact, he even went to seminary.
At one point, yeah. He actually went to a seminary in Northern California, and he was working purportedly to get a master's degree at that seminary.
And, you know, the interesting thing about that is we talked about Marcy McDowell. There's even a picture of her in a nun's outfit. Now, Marcy says that was because she was doing a movie.
Right.
Playing a nun.
And she did have a connection, I understand, with a producer out in Hollywood. So it's very possible, you know, people do favors for, you know, it's like, oh, wouldn't that be fun?
One of the interesting things I discovered about the Burrish whole affair is how intertwined hotel casino security jobs are involved with these people. Marcy McDowell works in connection with that.
Right.
Eye in the sky. In other words, they watch not only the gamblers, but the employees to make sure they don't take money.
Right.
In addition to that, Burrish himself worked as a security person at several hotels, including the old Aladdin. And then even Dan's mother worked in the hotel, the Sahara Hotel. In fact, Marcy and Dan were together one day,
right.
I think. You know, one of the things that surprised me, and I did not realize this, you brought it to my attention when you read Bill Hamilton's book, Project Aquarius.
Right.
And that was the fact that evidently Dan Burrish, Dan Crane at the time, his mother says his name was never Dan, it was Danny. Kind of like my name, it was never Jerome, it's Jerry.
Right, yeah, it was actually Danny B. without a period.
Yeah, she didn't like that idea of having the period there because it's not a... They didn't want to name him a name, and she goes into detail about that in an interview we'll be doing with her in a minute.
Right.
But the fact is that he evidently had an abduction experience.
Yes, yes. And she gives a rather detailed description of that, and also, as you mentioned, in Bill Hamilton's book, there are several paragraphs devoted to describing his experience, and I suppose Bill probably must have talked to the mother as well as to Dan himself to get this material together.
We talked to Dodie Crane, that's her nickname, Dodie. Doreen is her actual name, about that, and here's what she had to say.
When was he abducted? When he was a young...
He was a young kid. Real young.
And
his grandfather was involved in this. His grandfather died and would not tell John exactly what happened. That was John's stepdad. He would not tell John nothing. He died with it, and that was it. But he was there at the baseball field that they used to go play baseball when it happened in California.
And were you there?
No. I was working, and Danny would get out of school, and Grandpa was already home from work when he'd get out of school.
Right.
So he'd go pick him up, they'd come home, and they'd get changed up, and then Grandpa and him would walk over to the park and play some baseball for an hour or so.
Right.
And usually they got home before I got home from work. And that particular day they didn't. I was worried about them. I went over to the park. I couldn't find them. And then all of a sudden, here they come. About a half an hour later, here they come. Where have you been? Danny says, I've seen this beautiful black kite. He always referred to it as a black kite.
This is probably a black triangle.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Did he ever describe what happened to him?
Not so much to us, no.
Mm-hmm.
All he said was, it was so pretty, Mama. It was pretty inside. It was pretty out there. And you know, in those days, John and I never thought about he got abducted, okay? Because you didn't think about that years ago. You know, that much, because it wasn't out there, you know, or anything. And as the years went by, then he got to talking a little bit to John about it. We put two and two together and said, yeah, you were, you know. It looks, we weren't there. John had never seen a triangle one before. So, just the oval one. John had seen that and stuff.
Well, has John been abducted?
You don't know. But he did have one thing on him one time. And we both would like to hit each other for it. He pulled out something in his body that was round, sphere-like.
Might have had an implant.
Yeah, because the reason why it was like he was being told to throw it away. And that's all he kept telling me is, I got to throw this away. I don't want it around.
Did Dan ever have a...
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's got an implant or not. All I know is his mind is screwed. Totally screwed.
You know, this abduction thing seems to be widespread in a lot of the things that we cover, Larry, and especially in this series we're doing this year on the Insider Disclosures. Lots of abduction stories.
There certainly are. You know, the people that, you know, disclose things seem to have their own experiences, which can start in childhood. This is a very common theme. I just find it very interesting how this particular abduction experience was explained, and obviously the input that Bill Hamilton got from Dan Burrish was somewhat different from the story
that we just heard. Dodie,
right?
She didn't know about this Mike or Michael.
Right.
And what was the story?
Well, it was another young boy who was apparently abducted at the same time that Dan was. They were there together on the craft, and they took genetic material from Dan and fiddled around with it in some way, and then injected it into this other young man by the name of Michael, who had some type of childhood cancer, probably some type of leukemia, and supposedly the child was cured of cancer, and my understanding was is that led to Dan's extreme interest from childhood on in quote becoming a scientist, a biologist, and to work in the field of microbiology and work on cures for cancer.
We will go into detail about that. Evidently, Dan was very prolific in the field of biology early on, thanks to a doctor in California who kind of put him under his wing. Dodie will explain that to us here in a minute, because there seems to be a lot of problems with a lot of people saying that Dan Burrish doesn't have a PhD, and we're going to discuss that in great detail later. He didn't get a Bachelor of Science degree. He got a Bachelor of Arts degree from UNLV. We do know that.
In psychology.
So it's a very interesting story, and we're going to start this series talking to the mother who was there. Dan, even lived at home when he worked at Area 51. I don't know if you knew that or not. He lived with his parents.
It wasn't until 1990, yeah. I believe, is when he met Debbie. Sort of strangely appeared in his life out of the blue.
Dan Crane was working at that point as a parole officer for the state of Nevada.
Right.
And she was his client. She had been convicted on a drug charge.
And that's the reason I said appeared out of the blue. I mean, is that there obviously was a connection there. The thing is, it's a very strange connection in the fact that he's the parole officer and she is the parolee, having been convicted, as you said, of drug charges.
You'll listen to the interview coming up and you'll hear some explanations about this whole situation, including the fact that Burrish is not his name. That's his wife's name.
Right.
And there's an interesting story on how that happened. The people have different names. They're using different jobs. Supposedly he's a microbiologist, but he works as a parole officer. It goes on and on and on.
And also the fact that, right after the turn of the century, sounds rather profound, doesn't it?
We're talking about 2000.
Is that the whole family and friends, so to speak, ended up down in Biloxi in Mississippi on the Gulf Coast, working in the casino down there that had been built.
And then they ended up back in Las Vegas.
A couple of years later they were back, certainly, in Las Vegas.
And during this time, Dan's mother moved back to Maine, where they were originally.
And then that's when she got the word from Marcy that your son is dead.
You'll find a very interesting and emotional how she found out listening to the radio and waiting in full anticipation of hearing Dan, and instead she hears Bill Hamilton say, well, we just found out he's dead.
Right.
And then she comes back to Las Vegas, and she can't find him. Dan evidently has not seen his mother since, what, 93?
1993, yes.
And there's a very emotional story about that as well, as why he is estranged from his mother and dad. So we're going to get into this. There's stories about J-Rod. That's the entity from outer space. Maybe a time traveler at Area 51. Also stories about J-Rod, which we'll be covering later on, about being down at Los Alamos. So evidently there was more than one.
Well, that's the story, and that's where Dan's story seems to hook into some other stories that come from people like Mr. Collins and Mr. Doty and their new book. They certainly talk about an extraterrestrial entity, in fact several of them, that were housed in a sort of an exchange program at Los Alamos National Labs. And of course there is part of Dan's story. He says, well, I went from Area 51 out to Los Alamos, and I went through the facilities there, and I think he mentions that he did in fact meet an entity there as well.
The lack of him being available for interviews has made this story even more convoluted. At the opening of the show, we did have Dan Burrish actually on tape talking about something, and you'll hear him again as the series goes along. And we haven't given up. We may actually get him to come on the air with us before it's all over. But he has been very unavailable.
Right, which is very strange. If you have a message to give, you would think that you would want to start giving it to the media. If you want to get the story out, then you get interviewed.
The one thing I must say, and you'll hear me talk to Don Deppler, another rock and roll guy, who has a strange story and somehow inserted himself into all of this in the next hour or two, in which Deppler will talk about, and I kind of get on Don about it. I say, these people are awfully thin-skinned, and they are. We've gone through, as you know, through days of just them refusing to talk to us at all simply because we questioned something.
In his story, I must say, I've never seen anybody who's managed to package every piece of mythology that there is surrounding ufology out there into one package.
The interesting thing is, and we try to explain that by investigating his spiritual and religious backgrounds, but there's a healthy amount of Hinduism and regular religion, Catholicism, and spiritualism all together in part of the overlay of the Burrish story. He's talking about this tree of life and talking about this this particle that he's found that he says is the secret of life.
Right, the Ganesh particle, right. And this I got right off of a forum that Dan participated in with Bill Hamilton and Marcy McDowell, which is no longer up and running, but it was I think the period 2004-2005. And on there were supposedly posts, purported posts from various members of the MJ organization in which they would make statements, and one of the statements that was made was that Dan's abduction as a child was all a part of the plan, and that MJ, in cooperation with the ETs, these particular ETs, had arranged for that abduction, and that's when the oversight of Dan's life by the MJ group began. And as I said, that shows you the broad scope of this whole tale is that it really just involves everything. I mean, it's abductions, it's ETs, it's genetic manipulation, it's involvement between our government and extraterrestrial beings. In this case, not just ordinary ETs. These are actually two segments of the human species that have evolved and changed over the course of some up to 52,000 years into basically separate species. But they originated as us in the end times on this planet, which occur in 2012. Now, doesn't that sound familiar?
Well, the whole story, as we unwinds here,
yeah,
we're going to draw some conclusions when it's over. The investigation and the research continues. We know from past experience in working on conspiracies, especially with the government, that sometimes things don't appear to be what they are. In other words, you have a kind of a double-blind cover. And there's a little troop here, a little troop
right
there, and a little troop there, and over there, and here. And we hope to kind of make sense of it all before it's over. So basically, by the end of the show, this series,
mm-hmm,
and it's an ongoing thing, so we can't tell you exactly when the series will end, we'll know whether or not Dan Burrish is a fraud, or whether or not he is a victim, or whether or not he's a prophet. It seems to me that there is a danger here, at least of some people associated with the Burrish affair, that they'd like to maybe form some sort of cult. Now, I'm not saying that's true. I'm saying it just appears that
it certainly appears that way on the surface. If you read, you know, the material that's available out on several of these forums that have been up and running over the last 5 years, is, you know, they're people who are, quote, believers and supporters. And any time you get that kind of a mentality around some central figure, often encouraged by other people who are directly associated with that central figure, that's when you have what we commonly call,
you know, cult. One of the things I've had trouble with the story all along is the fact that Dan wanted to go through this period of they didn't call it debriefing. What did they call it?
That's what they did call it, Jerry. Actually, a debriefing.
Okay, they called it
yes,
a debriefing. Well, I wouldn't call it a debriefing. I'd call it laying everything down on tape. It appears to me they're going to sell DVDs.
Well, this is called the Dan Burry Story, and not only the Dan Burry Story, but what Dan knows will affect humankind and where we're all going. And where we're going is to this, quote, end date of 2012, and something's supposed to happen.
I think Dan Burrish at one time on a forum late one night actually said, well, there's nothing really going to happen.
He's made statements on the forum to that effect. Actually, it was late this past year. He's all of a sudden, oh, there's not really going to be anything terrible happen. And before, it was just the opposite. And the things that are going to happen have evolved over time. I mean, it started out as Planet X was going to get us, and then it became the Great Galactic Superwave, which we've heard because, you know, this is something we've talked to other people and interviewed them on our show. You know, is it the center of the galaxy is going to have a hiccup and all hell's going to break loose? And we can't really predict that when that's going to happen. But, you know, it just might happen. That might be the 2012 event. Might be. One final comment I would like to make about the whole affair is that, you know, is that many things that we do on the UFO files, by its very name, revolve around UFOs and ETs, entities that purportedly come from other planets within our galaxy. And the interesting thing about this story is the fact that it's so human-centric. And by that I mean is the whole play here revolves around ETs that aren't really ETs. They're really our species that is split into two separate species in the future and have come back trying to fix the problem that caused the split in the first place. And they keep doing it, and it's like a cyclical thing over and over again. And every time they do it, they screw it up worse. And that's the reason in 2012, everything's just going to go bananas. But with all of this having been said, the emphasis is on humans, all right? Humans in our galaxy going here and there and coming back here. But there's never any particular mention or emphasis on the fact that there could be thousands of other real extraterrestrials, non-human species, that are out there interacting with us at this point in time. And I find that very strange. And in fact, Dan Burry says, that doesn't particularly interest me. And, yeah, I know that there's some other beings out there, and maybe the government's had contact with it, but that really doesn't have anything to do with our real problem here. And they're not going to do anything for us, and I'm just not interested. And Dan, if you're listening, and I'm wrong, because I've gathered that opinion about where you stand on this matter from reading your comments on the forum and listening to your personal comments to Bill Hamilton, if I'm wrong, tell me.
Thank you, Larry, for helping me set up the series on the B-Files. When we come back, we'll be talking to the mother, Mrs. Doreen Crane, the mother of Dan Burrish. She was there when he worked at Area 51. She was there when he was contacted by MJ-12. She was there when he got his PhD through mysterious circumstances. Stay tuned. We'll cover it all. Dodie Crane, coming up on our next segment, so don't go away. This first segment has been brought to you by Fate Magazine. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine.
Fate.
Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown.